The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the AFB an update on the DATA, from the Blind Post, a survey about readership, from ABC 11, Bandwidth sponsors the NC State Fair Accessibility Day, October 17th, morning only from 9 to noon. From the Washington Post, iPhones have been hacked by the Pegasus. From bleepingcomputer.com, Kiwi SDR removes backdoor admin access. If I have a chance, I will read some items in the APH catalog for 2021 to 2022, and I will get started. From AFB 100, Inclusion Knows No Limits. Doris, I hope you're well. I'm coming out of a morning meeting with a fresh advocacy update for you. It sounds like we're gaining great momentum and attention for the Disability Access to Transportation Act. It's heartening to know that inclusivity is top of mind for so many of our supporters and inspiring action. But as you can see, we still need to boost our numbers for support. The goal was 10,000 signers, and they're just over halfway there. It looks like about 60% on their little bar graph. Will you add your name in support of the Disability Access to Transportation Act? Help us reach our goal of 10,000 supporters strong before the end of the month. 31 years ago this month, the Americans with Disability Act was signed into law. And while it did set the standard for how vehicles and systems like public transportation should be accessible, it did not provide the funding to make it happen, or even require an accessible system to exist. Now we have a chance to make needed investments. I hope you will take a minute of your time to add your name in support of our efforts to secure equal transportation access for all. Signed, all the best, Adriana Montague, Chief Community Engagement Officer. Editor Lori Motis has a questionnaire for Blind Post readers. Hello, readers. The Blind Post News will be starting up again in August. I thought I would send this reader questionnaire out to see what you like, dislike, and what you would like. Answer as many as you can. Email answers to foodlady@theblindpost.com or just reply to this message. I genuinely appreciate your input. Thank you. Lori, a.k.a. Food Lady. Number one, have you enjoyed reading the Blind Post News? Number two, how many years have you been a subscriber? Number three, do you like getting the news monthly? Number four, have you ever visited the website? https://www.theblindpost.com/queris. Number five, did you like the email news format of the Blind Post with the sponsors near the beginning, followed by classifieds and then articles? Did you enjoy reading the articles in the monthly columns? Did you have favorites? Were there any that you did not read or skipped over? Would you like to see the same writers going forward or new writers in subject matter? Number 10, what did you like best about the magazine? Number 11, what would you like to change? Number 12, do you have suggestions or comments? Number 13, when would you like to get the news? First week of the month, second week, or toward the end? To unsubscribe, email the Blind Post plus unsubscribe at groups.io. You can subscribe to the Blind Post by sending an email to theblindpostplussubscribe@groups.io. Thank you very much. Signed, Lori Motis, L-O-R-I-M-O-T-I-S, publisher and editor of the Blind Post Classified News, a great place to share and sell. Email foodlady@theblindpost.com, website https://www.theblindpost.com/. Posted on abc11.com. In addition to Bandwidth's headquarters development, the company is committed to being a long-term major partner with the fair. One early thing the company is doing is sponsoring an accessibility day presented by Bandwidth on Sunday, October 17th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. This is a push to make the fair more inclusive. The accessibility day will include reduced noise and lights, as well as other accommodations for fair guests who previously felt unwelcome by the hustle and bustle and loudness of the state fair. This partnership comes as the state fair pushes to resume in 2021 after having to cancel in 2020 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Despite rising COVID-19 cases in North Carolina and across the United States, Troxler said he and his team are working tirelessly to ensure that the fair happens this year. "We're going to make plans to have the biggest and best state fair we've ever had, and barring something unforeseen, that's going to happen." The 2021 NC State Fair is scheduled to happen October 14 to 24 at the State Fairgrounds in Raleigh. North Carolina-based Bandwidth broke ground on a major headquarters expansion in Raleigh, developing more than 533,000 square feet of property on 40 acres of land located off Edwards Mill Road near Durley Road. The land was sold to Bandwidth by North Carolina's Department of Agriculture. Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler said it was not an easy decision to sell the land, but he said ultimately he thinks the public-private partnership that has emerged should be an example for all. From WashingtonPost.com, despite the hype, iPhone security no match for NSO spyware. International investigation finds 23 Apple devices that were successfully hacked. The text delivered last month to the iPhone 11 of Claude Mangin, the French wife of a political activist jailed in Morocco, made no sound. It produced no image. It offered no warning of any kind, as an iMessage from somebody she didn't know delivered malware directly onto her phone and past Apple's security systems. Once inside, the spyware, produced by Israel's NSO group and licensed to one of its government clients, went to work, according to a forensic examination of her device by Amnesty International's security lab. It found that between October and June, her phone was hacked multiple times with Pegasus, NSO's signature surveillance tool, during a time when she was in France. The examination was unable to reveal what was collected, but the potential was vast. Pegasus can collect emails, call records, social media posts, user passwords, contact lists, pictures, videos, sound recordings, and browsing histories, according to security researchers and NSO marketing materials. The spyware can activate cameras or microphones to capture fresh images and recordings. It can listen to calls and voicemails. It can collect location logs of where a user has been and also determine where that user is now, along with data indicating whether the person is stationary or, if moving, in which direction. And all of this can happen without a user even touching the phone or knowing they have received a mysterious message from an unfamiliar person. In Majin's case, a Gmail user going by the name Lina Keller 2203. These kinds of zero-click attacks, as they are called within the surveillance industry, can work on even the newest generations of iPhones after years of effort in which Apple attempted to close the door against unauthorized surveillance and built marketing campaigns on assertions that it offers better privacy and security than rivals. Mangin's number was on a list of more than 50,000 phone numbers from more than 50 countries that the Washington Post and 16 other organizations reviewed. Forbidden Stories, a Paris-based journalism nonprofit, and the human rights group Amnesty International had access to the numbers and shared them with the Post and its partners in an effort to identify who the numbers belonged to and persuade them to allow the data from their phones to be examined forensically. For years, Mangin has been waging an international campaign to win freedom for her husband, activist Naama Asfari, a member of the Sahrawi, S-A-H-R-A-W-I, ethnic group, and advocate of independence for the Western Sahara, who was jailed in 2010 and allegedly tortured by Moroccan police, drawing an international outcry and condemnation from the United Nations. "When I was in Morocco, I knew policemen were following me everywhere," Mangin said in a video interview conducted in early July from her home in suburban Paris. "I never imagined this could be possible in France, especially not through the Apple products that she believed would make her safe from spying," she said. The same week she sat for an interview about the hacking of her iPhone 11, a second smartphone she had borrowed, an iPhone 6S, also was infected with Pegasus, a later examination showed. Researchers have documented iPhone infections with Pegasus dozens of times in recent years, challenging Apple's reputation for superior security when compared with its leading rivals, which run Android operating systems by Google. The months-long investigation by the Post and its partners found more evidence to fuel that debate. Amnesty's security lab examined 67 smartphones whose numbers were on the Forbidden Stories list and found forensic evidence of Pegasus infections or attempts at infections on 37, Of those, 34 were iPhones, 23 that showed signs of a successful Pegasus infection, and 11 that showed signs of attempted infection. Only 3 of the 15 Android phones examined showed evidence of a hacking attempt, but that was probably because Android's logs are not comprehensive enough to store the information needed for conclusive results, Amnesty's investigators said. Still, the number of times Pegasus was successfully implanted on an iPhone underscores the vulnerability of even its latest models. The hacked phones included an iPhone 12 with the latest of Apple's software updates. In a separate assessment published Sunday, the University of Toronto Citizen Lab endorsed Amnesty's methodology. Citizen Lab also noted that its previous research had found Pegasus infections on an iPhone 12 Pro Max and 2 iPhone SE 2s, all running 14.0 or more recent versions of the iOS operating system, first released last year. Target: someone sends what's known as a trap link to a smartphone that persuades the victim to tap and activate, or activates itself without any input, as in the most sophisticated zero-click hacks. In fact, the spyware captures and copies the phone's most basic functions, NSO marketing materials show, recording from the cameras and microphone and collecting location data, call logs, and contacts. Track: the implant secretly reports that information to an operative who can use it to map out sensitive details of the victim's life. Ivan Krstic, K-R-S-T-I-C with a accent mark, head of Apple Security Engineering and Architecture, defended his company's security efforts. Apple unequivocally condemns cyber attacks against journalists, human rights activists, and others seeking to make the world a better place. For over a decade, Apple has led the industry in security innovation, and as a result, security researchers agree iPhone is the safest, most secure consumer mobile device on the market, he said in a statement. Attacks like the ones described are highly sophisticated, cost millions of dollars to develop, often have a short shelf life, and are used to target specific individuals. While that means they are not a threat to the overwhelming majority of users, we continue to work tirelessly to defend all our customers, and we are constantly adding new protections for their devices and data. Apple burnished its reputation for guarding user privacy during its high-profile legal fight with the FBI in 2016 over whether the company could be forced to unlock an iPhone used by one of the attackers in a San Bernardino, California mass shooting the previous year. The FBI ultimately withdrew from the legal clash when it found an Australian cybersecurity firm, Azimuth Security, that could unlock the iPhone 5C without any help from Apple. Outside researchers praise Apple for its stand and for continuing to improve its technology with each new generation of iPhones. The company last year quietly introduced Blast Door, a feature that seeks to prevent malware delivered through iMessages from infecting iPhones, making Pegasus-style attacks more difficult. The investigation's conclusions also are likely to fuel a debate about whether tech companies have done enough to shield their customers from unwanted intrusions. The vulnerability of smartphones and their widespread adoption by journalists, diplomats, and human rights activists and business people around the world, as well as criminals and terrorists, has given rise to a robust industry offering commercially available hacking tools to those willing to pay. NSO, for example, reported $240 million in revenue last year, and there are many other companies that offer similar spyware. On Sunday, NSO's chief executive, Shalev Julio, told the Post that he was upset by the investigation's reports that iPhones belonged to journalists, human rights activists, and public officials had been targeted with his company's software, even though he disputed other allegations reported by the Post and its partner news organizations. He promised an investigation. "Every allegation about misuse of the system is concerning to me," Julio said. "It violates the trust we are giving the customer." Apple is not alone in dealing with potential intrusions. The other major target of Pegasus is Google's Android operating system, which powers smartphones by Samsung, LG, and other manufacturers. Google spokeswoman Kaylin Trychon, T-R-Y-C-H-O-N, said that Google has a threat analysis team that tracks NSO Group and other threat actors, and that the company sent more than 4,000 warnings to users each month of attempted infiltrations by attackers, including government-backed ones. She said that the lack of logs that help researchers determine whether an Android device has been attacked was also a security decision. While we understand that persistent logs would be more helpful for forensic uses, such as the ones described by Amnesty International's researchers, they also would be helpful to attackers. We continually balance these different needs, she said. Advocates say the inability to prevent the hacking of smartphones threatens democracy in scores of nations by undermining news gathering, political activity, and campaigns against human rights abuses. Most nations have little or no effective regulation of the spyware industry or how its tools are used. If we're not protecting them and not providing them with tools to do this dangerous work, then our societies are not going to get better, said Adrian Shabazz, Director of Technology and Democracy for Freedom House, a Washington-based pro-democracy think tank. If everyone is afraid of taking on the powerful because they fear the consequences of it, then that would be disastrous to the state of democracy. Hatice Cengiz, C-E-N-G-I-Z, the fiancé of slain Washington Post contributing columnist Jamal Khashoggi, said she used an iPhone because she thought it would offer robust protection against hackers. Why did they say the iPhone is more safe? Cengiz said in a June interview in Turkey, where she lives. Her iPhone was among the 23 found to have forensic evidence of successful Pegasus intrusion. The infiltration happened in the days after Khashoggi was killed in October 2018, the examination of her phone found. NSO said in a statement that it had found no evidence that Cengiz's phone had been targeted by Pegasus. Our technology was not associated in any way with the heinous murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the company said. A head-to-head comparison of the security of Apple's and Google's operating systems and the devices that run them is not possible. But reports of hacks to iPhones have grown in recent years as security researchers have discovered evidence that attackers had found vulnerabilities in such widely used iPhone apps as iMessage, Apple Music, Apple Photos, FaceTime, and the Safari browser. The investigation found that iMessage, the built-in messaging app that allows seamless chatting among iPhone users, played a role in 13 of the 23 successful infiltrations of iPhones. iMessage was also the mode of attack in 6 of the 11 failed attempts Amnesty's security lab identified through its forensic examinations. One reason that iMessage has become a vector for attack, security researchers say, is that the app has gradually added features, which inevitably creates more potential vulnerabilities. They can't make iMessage safe, said Matthew Green, a security and cryptology professor at Johns Hopkins University. I'm not saying it can't be fixed, but it's pretty bad. One key issue, iMessage lets strangers send iPhone users messages without any warning or approval from the recipient, a feature that makes it easier for hackers to take the first steps toward infection without detection. Security researchers have warned about this weakness for years. Your iPhone and a billion other Apple devices out of the box automatically run famously insecure software to preview iMessages, whether you trust the sender or not, said security researcher Bill Marzak, a fellow at Citizen Lab, a research institute based at the University of Toronto's Monk School of Global Affairs and Public Policy. Any Computer Security 101 student could spot the flaw here. Google's Project Zero, which searches for exploitable bugs across a range of technology offerings and publishes its findings publicly, reported in a series of blog posts last year on vulnerabilities to iMessage. The encrypted chat app Signal adopted new protections last year requiring user approval when an unfamiliar user attempts to initiate a call or a text, a protection Apple has not implemented with iMessage. Users of iPhones can choose to filter unfamiliar users by activating a feature on the device settings, although research for many years has shown that ordinary users of devices or apps rarely take advantage of such granular controls. I did. In a 2,800-word email responding to questions from the Post that Apple said could not be quoted directly, the company said that iPhones severely restrict the code that an iMessage can run on a device, and that it has protections against malware arriving in this way. It said Blastdoor examines web previews and photos for suspicious content before users can view them, but did not elaborate on that process. It did not respond to a question about whether it would consider restricting messages from senders not in a person's address book. The Amnesty technical analysis also found evidence that NSO's clients use commercial internet service companies, including Amazon Web Services, to deliver Pegasus malware to targeted phones, Amazon's executive chairman, Jeff Bezos, owns the Washington Post. Kristen Brown, a spokeswoman for Amazon Web Services, said when we learned of this activity, we acted quickly to shut down the relevant infrastructure and accounts. The infiltration of Manjian's iPhones underscores hard lessons about privacy in the age of smartphones. Nothing held on any device is entirely safe. Spending more for a premium smartphone does not change that fact, especially if some nation's intelligence or law enforcement agencies want to break in. NSO reported last month that it has 60 government customers in 40 countries, meaning some nations have more than one agency with a contract. New security measures often exact costs to consumers in terms of ease of use, speed of apps, and battery life, prompting internal struggles in many technology companies over whether such performance trade-offs are worth the improved resistance to hacking that such measures provide. One former Apple employee who spoke on condition of anonymity because Apple requires its employees to sign agreements prohibiting them from commenting on nearly all aspects of the company, even after they leave, said it was difficult to communicate with security researchers who reported bugs in Apple products because the company's marketing department got in the way. Marketing could veto everything, the person said. We had a whole bunch of canned replies we would use over and over again. It was incredibly annoying and slowed everything down. Apple also restricts the access outside researchers have to iOS, the mobile operating system used by iPhones and iPads, in a way that makes investigation of the code more difficult and limits the ability of consumers to discover when they've been hacked, researchers say. In its email response to questions from the Post, Apple said its product marketing team has a say only in some interactions between Apple employees and outside security researchers, and only to ensure the company's messaging about new products is consistent. It said it is committed to giving tools to outside security researchers and touted its security research device program, in which the company sells iPhones with special software that researchers can use to analyze iOS. Critics both inside and outside the company say Apple also should be more focused on tracking the work of its most sophisticated adversaries, including NSO, to better understand the cutting-edge exploits attackers are developing. These critics say the company's security team tends to focus more on overall security by deploying features that thwart most attacks but may fail to stop attacks on people subject to government surveillance, a group that often includes journalists, politicians, and human rights activists such as Manjian. It's a situation where you're always working with an information deficit. You don't know a whole lot about what's out there, said a former Apple engineer, speaking on condition of anonymity because Apple does not permit former employees to speak publicly without company permission. When you have a well-resourced adversary, different things are on the table. In its email to the Post, Apple said that in recent years it has significantly expanded its security team, focused on tracking sophisticated adversaries. Apple said in the email that it is different from its competitors in that it elects not to discuss these efforts publicly, instead focusing on building new protections for its software. Overall, its security team has grown fourfold over the past 5 years, Apple said. Apple's business model relies on the annual release of new iPhones, its flagship product that generates half of its revenue. Each new device, which typically arrives with an updated operating system available to users of older devices, includes many new features, along with what security researchers call new attack surfaces. Current and former Apple employees and people who work with the company say the product release schedule is harrowing, and because there's little time to vet new products for security flaws, it leads to a proliferation of new bugs that offensive security researchers at companies like NSO Group can use to break into even the newest devices. In its email to the Post, Apple said it uses automated tools and in-house researchers to catch the vast majority of bugs before they're released, and that it is the best in the industry. Apple also was a relative latecomer to the bug bounties, where companies pay independent researchers for finding and disclosing software flaws that could be used by hackers in attacks. Kirstich, Apple's top security official, pushed for a bug bounty program that was added in 2016. But some independent researchers say they have stopped submitting bugs through the program because Apple tends to pay small rewards and the process can take months or years. Last week, Nicholas Bruner, an iOS engineer for Swiss Federal Railways, detailed in a blog post how he submitted a bug to Apple that allowed someone to permanently track an iPhone user's location without their knowledge. He said Apple was uncommunicative, slow to fix the bug, and ultimately did not pay him. Asked about the blog post, an Apple spokesman referred to Apple's email in which it said its bug bounty program is the best in the industry and that it pays higher rewards than any other company. In 2021 alone, it has paid out millions of dollars to security researchers, the email said. People familiar with Apple security operations say Kerstich has improved the situation, but Apple's security team remains known for keeping a low public profile, declining to make presentations at conferences such as the heavily attended Black Hat Cybersecurity Conference in Las Vegas every summer, where other tech companies have become fixtures. This is running way too long, and I have very little time left, so if you want to read more, go to thewashingtonpost.com. From bleepingcomputer.com, software maker removes backdoor, giving root access to radio devices, by Axe Sharma, S-H-A-R-M-A. The author of a popular software-defined radio, SDR, project has removed a backdoor from radio devices that granted root-level access. The backdoor had been, according to the author, present in all versions of Kiwi SDR devices for the purposes of remote administration and debugging. Last night, the author pushed out a bug fix on the project's GitHub aimed at removing this backdoor silently, which sparked some backlash. Since then, the author's original forum posts and comments with any mention of backdoor have been removed over the last few hours. Hard-coded password gives root access to all devices. Kiwi SDR is a software-defined radio that can be attached to an embedded computer, like CEED BeagleBone Green, BBG. It is provided either as a standalone board or a more complete version featuring BBG, a GPS antenna, and an enclosure. SDRs are aimed at replacing radio frequency, RF communication hardware, with software or firmware for carrying out signal processing activities that would normally require hardware devices. The concept is analogous to software-defined networking. Yesterday, Mark Jessup, an RF engineer and radio operator, came across an interesting forum post in which the author of the Kiwi SDR project admitted to having remote access to all radio receiver devices running the software. Another user, M, dug out a 2017 forum thread where Kiwi SDR's developer admitted that a backdoor indeed provided them with remote access to all Kiwi SDR devices. Although the entire Kiwi SDR forum site has become inaccessible as of today, an archived copy of the forum post seen by Bleeping Computer confirms the contents of the tweet. Admin interface not available any longer in 1.77 version. I have downgraded to 1.76. Admin interface was there, but when I've allowed the new update to be installed, then I've discovered that the admin page has once more disappeared. Comments, I'm able to connect to your V1.77 admin page with no problems. Currently, there is a backdoor allowing me to connect to the admin pages of all public Kiwis just for situations like this. When you say not available, etc., it goes into the bug. Furthermore, as of today, over 600 Kiwi SDR devices are online with the backdoor still present in them, as highlighted by Hacker Fantastic. Although these devices are mainly acting as radio receivers, it is worth noting any remote actor who logs in using the hard-coded master password is granted root-level access to the device's Linux-based console. I ran out of time for today's Reading of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.